Today I'm starting our chat with an introduction of Julie and Karen. It's likely that a number of our listeners will be unfamiliar with the wonder that is the Julie James, Karen White team. Julie James writes contemporary romance, and her full backlist is now in audio format. Her titles include two single releases, Just the Sexiest Man Alive and Practice Makes Perfect, plus her FBI U.S. Attorney series. All of her books have been narrated by Karen White. Julie's first entry in the FBI U.S. Attorney series, Something About You, just won second place in Audio Gal's Best 2012 Romance Audiobook Poll. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
And now to introduce Karen. We first discovered Karen when she narrated Julie's Just the Sexiest Man Alive in 2010, and since that time, I've had the pleasure of working with her on a number of projects, both at Speaking of Audiobooks and Audio Gals. Of course, Karen was highly instrumental in Something About You winning second place in the Best 2012 Romance Audiobook Poll here at Audio Gals. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Vicki. I hope it wasn't that I won because I bugged my followers to vote for me so often.
Nothing wrong with that.
Wrong with that, and you weren't the only one, so okay. I'll direct this first question to you, Julie. When Just the Sexiest Man Alive was released in audio format in 2010, did you have knowledge of its release beforehand? And if so, did you have an idea Karen was the chosen narrator?
I did know before it came out. My editor contacted me and said that Penguin was trying out, different books in audiobook format and wanted to do mine. And Wendy told me the name of the narrator, but I had not met Karen at that point. Wendy was the one who chose Karen. And I think she had been sent a sample of different clips from different narrators and thought that Karen would be the best fit for my book. And obviously she chose very well, I think, with that. So then we talked about the audiobook coming out and everything, but I think that was probably the audiobook that I was the least involved in. You know, it was more, it's coming out, here's the narrator, this is the release date.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, because of Just the Sexiest Man Alive, we started following Karen's narrations. It was obvious that she understood contemporary romance. Karen, was that book your first romance narration?
Actually, that was my very first romance, and I don't really think I had any idea of what I was doing then. I had been narrating for 10 years at that point, and I'd done a lot of fiction, general fiction, literary fiction, women's fiction, chick lit, whatever you want to call it, as well as other genres, but never specifically romance the way you guys understand it, with the happy ever after, the importance of the relationship between the hero and the heroine. But I think I just got lucky with being paired with Julie, where for she and I've talked about it a few times. I don't know what it is, because we seem to have very different backgrounds, but there's something about her writing voice that I just get, her sense of humor, the struggles that her heroines go through, I think I connect with really deeply. So I feel very lucky to have been assigned that book. And then, honestly, Vicki, I think I've been able to develop in this genre. I've learned a lot through you and through speaking of audiobooks, through paying attention to the forums and participating in forums and hearing feedback from both listeners, but also my fellow narrators who have worked in this genre longer than I have.
Good. When Tantra picked up your FBI U.S. Attorney series in 2012, did you have anything to do with the choice of Karen as narrator?
I did. So Penguin did the audiobook for Just the Sexiest Man Alive. We skipped Practice Makes Perfect, but I think that's more just because more of an oversight type thing. And now I'm so thrilled that that one has recently come out. That's my most recent audiobook. But so when my editor at Penguin informed me that Tantor was going to be doing the FBI U.S. Attorney series, I said, well, can we get the same narrator, Karen White, that we had for Just the Sexiest Man Alive? And as it turned out, I think Tantor had worked with Karen in the past. And I think it was, in fact, Karen can help me with this. It was one of those things where she was booked and she had something, but Karen, if I remember, you fit it in specifically, or Tantor found a way to fit it in so that you could do it, because we were all so excited about having you do the book, if at all possible.
Yes, I do remember that, because I think I was going on vacation or something, and I already was doing a book for them in that slot, but then I said, I don't care. I love Julie's books. I'll figure it out. Yeah. So we did kind of squeeze it in.
And I don't know if you realize this, Julie, but after Just the Sexiest Man was released in audio, there was this cry out among romance audio listeners for more. And we often mentioned that to Karen. And so she was sort of standing by with us as we kept on hoping that we would see more of your titles in audio formats.
Oh, we had all been talking about that. Karen and I had been exchanging emails after Just the Sexiest Man Alive came out, saying we were both hoping there would be more audiobooks. It was something that I was asking my publisher about. And so the missing piece that needed to come in, because I think, you know, Penguin just maybe isn't doing as many of those themselves. And so the missing piece that needed to come in really was Tantor coming in and buying the audio rights. And that's where everything sort of fell into place after that. And yes, I knew that there were people asking for more audiobooks, and I was too. So it was really, really nice when all of that came together.
Good. Over the course of recording Julie's six titles, have you all worked together prior to a recording, or has it been more of a supportive relationship after each release?
Well, I think it's sort of developed over the course of the titles. I know I had some interaction with Julie each time, because she puts these great restaurant names, or they go to restaurants that are actual restaurants in Chicago. She's always picking kinds of wine that I've never heard of. So Julie's been a great resource in terms of helping with pronunciations of those real places that exist in the world. And then I think sort of our relationship has developed in the support of the book as it's released. Would you think, is that true, Julie?
Yeah, I completely agree. And Karen and I think, was it something about you where we teamed up and we interviewed each other? I can't remember if that was something about you or A Lot Like Love. One of the books we did interviews with each other at each other's blog. And I can't remember who initiated that, but I remember I wanted to, I was so curious about the audiobook process and like literally how Karen does it. Because that's just, you know, fascinating to me as the author to know. So what happens when she gets the book and how does she turn it into an audiobook? And so I wanted to know sort of, you know, what her process was going into the book. And I thought that was just a fascinating sort of behind the scenes interview. And then Karen similarly asked me questions about, writing the book and everything. So we did that. And I think we coordinated with giveaways. So we have started, developing this relationship as the books have gone on, which is great. I like being able to talk to Karen about the books and all of that. So it's been fun.
I recall you all interviewing each other. I thought that was quite effective. Listeners have no idea what happens in that sound booth. We're going to have a shift in focus now, and I'm actually turning this over to Karen.
Well, when Vicki asked if I would do this interview, I started thinking about Julie's process. And I'm really fascinated with the writing process, and especially the process of writing a series, I think, which is has its own particular evolution. So my first question is actually about the sexual content in your books, Julie. I'm since I read Practice Makes Perfect out of order, in that it was your second book, but I read it after the whole FBI U.S. Attorney series thus far, I was kind of struck with seeing how much tamer, in some ways, the intimate scenes were between the hero and heroine when I compared them to Love Irresistibly, which had a lot of racy stuff going on. So my question is sort of how that happened for you, whether it was outside forces, demands from the marketplace or suggestions from your editors, or was it just something that happened sort of organically?
Yeah. So with my screenwriting background, I joke that my first two books, I give them ratings. I say my first two books are PG-13. Uh-huh. And then I say that the FBI U.S. Attorney series is R-rated. And it's so funny because I'll do book signings and I'll have new readers come up to me. And I always say that. I say, well, these two books are PG-13. The rest are all R. And every single time the person picks up the R-rated book and says, ooh, I want this one. So, so how did that happen? Well, again, going back to sort of, you know, I started my writing career with screenplays and wrote a couple romantic comedy screenplays. And when you write a screenplay, you don't write descriptive sex scenes. That's up to the director. They handle that. And so when I shifted over to novel writing, I kind of took that with me. Practice Makes Perfect was had a little bit more than just the sexiest man alive. Just the sexiest man alive. They don't get together until the end of the book. And again, that was a lot because when I wrote the book, I was thinking of it as, you know, truly like a romantic comedy movie where they often don't get together until the very end. Then when I wrote Something About You, and I should say there were none of the evolution has ever been anything that's been suggested by my editor. My editor is great. And she says, I think you should write whatever works best for the stories and whatever you want to write. When I got to my third book, Something About You, which is the first book in the FBI U.S. Attorney series, that book was, while it's still sexy and it's still fun, that book is slightly grittier in that, well, somebody dies in that book. In fact, the opening of the book is the heroine overhearing this murder in the hotel room next to her. And so there just was, I don't know if I want to say more of an adult feel, because it's certainly not like my first two books were an adult, but I guess gritty. And it just felt like the love scenes would be more descriptive. And so I went with that, with Something About You. And people were very responsive to that. Readers really liked the, you know, the sexier scenes. And then I would say that, you know, sort of noticing that that was something that people responded to, then yes, then I as an author kind of said, okay, this is something that people like, people are responding to, and I get that. And so with A Lot Like Love, I did my first love scene that was from the hero's point of view, which was interesting for me as a writer because guys use different words when thinking about those types of things. So that scene felt earthier and grittier. And so it's just, you know, sort of been an evolution.
I have to ask, did you interview your husband?
Did I interview my husband? No.
What do you, honey?
Running by him. What do you think? Right. Right. Yeah. So it's just sort of been an evolution for me as an author. Now I would say that I'm sort of at the level that, you know, I'm comfortable with, and this is where we're staying and everything. And now I'm, you know, it's comfortable for me to write those scenes. So, but yes, that's how that all sort of came together.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about your screenwriting background having influenced what you would write. So that's great. So I mentioned earlier when we were talking with Vicky that I think I have a strong personal connection with your heroines. And one of the things that you address, especially in the, I guess in all the books, is this work-life balance that the women struggle with, and that we all, at least my generation and a little bit before and definitely after, that we struggle with. And so I wanted to find out if that's something that comes from you, and and I know, I don't know if the listeners know that you have a background as an attorney, but mm-hmm. I also have to point in that I was talking about the University of Chicago and your books and another book that I happened to just read, a nonfiction book where the writer is a professor there. And my friend from college said, oh, well, Karen, you know, University of Chicago, that's where the fun goes to die. I thought perhaps that even has some influence because most of your heroines, if not all, have attended University of Chicago, either for
some
undergrad.
Some of them have. Yeah. Cameron went to Michigan, University of Michigan.
Okay.
But yes. And actually Peyton from Practice Makes Perfect went to University of Illinois, which is where I went to law school and undergrad. Certainly Brooke from Love Irresistibly went to University of Chicago. So in terms of the work-life balance, well, as you mentioned, I did practice law at a large firm for 6 years before I started writing full-time. And I think anyone that works, well, I think a lot of lawyers in general, but certainly anyone who works for a large firm will tell you, you work a ton of hours. And I had a hard enough time. I don't want to say hard enough time because I really, really enjoyed what I did. I truly did. I was a trial lawyer, generally enjoyed being a litigator, being in the courtroom. So maybe hard isn't the right word, but certainly struggling with balancing a personal life, when you work that many hours was something that, I knew. And now I don't practice as a lawyer anymore, but I do work full-time as an author. And anyone who works, anyone who writes will tell you, it is a full-time job just as much as anything else is a full-time job. But now I have two kids who are young. My son is 6, my daughter's 2. And so now that balance is about balancing, career and family life. And so, the work-life balance is always something that, I continue to work with, and I don't always get it right. But it's, something that I think a lot of women, really have to struggle with. And I know, or not struggle with, but it's just something they have to think about. And, I go to book club, I'm in a book club and, I just know that that's one thing that, my girlfriends and I are always talking about is, where do you fit the time in to do this? And, I think one thing that I've really noticed is so many of us are, doing all we can to do the things we have to do, that we often don't have time to do the things we want to do. And a lot of times that falls by the wayside. And so that really became a lot of sort of the inspiration behind Brooke's character and Brooke's struggles in Love Irresistibly. I really wanted to sort of, get that on the page, sort of what was driving her and motivating her.
I love that. I mean, I think it really grounds your books in the real world. And you just mentioned that you love what you do, or you loved what you do. I'm sure you love what you do as an author, and you loved what you were doing when you were an attorney. And I think your characters have that as well. And I connect to that because even though you love what you do, it still is a juggling act to fit everything in, just as you said.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I really enjoyed practicing law, and I absolutely love being an author. But you're absolutely right. You can love what you do and not be like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get this all in this week, or today or whatever. And, still, obviously spend quality time with the kids and everything. So, yeah.
So you just mentioned in talking about your book club and your girlfriends. I think another thing that I connected with your heroines is many of them have a really close guy friend who they're not ever going to be with romantically for one reason or another. They've just their oldest best friend. And that person is almost as important in their life or more important than their girlfriends. And as well as the new love interests that they have to make space for them. I know, especially when I was in college and right after, I had so many more guy friends than girlfriends. So I just want to find out if that too was something that comes from your life.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny that you said, college. College, yes, but particularly law school. I had a lot of guy friends, girlfriends too. And one of those guy friends is Mr. James, who then got promoted to husband status. So yes, and then working at my old law firm, you know, just had a lot of male colleagues that I became good friends with. And so that is something that, you know, has been a part of my life. One thing, if readers haven't read it, I did an interview on my blog called Four Men in a Romance Novel, where I interviewed four of my guy friends who read my books and wanted to know what they thought, what the straight skinny was, and what they really thought about reading a romance novel, one of mine. And it's hysterical and it's really, really funny. So I encourage anyone to sort of, you know, sort of read my actual, you know, true life guy friends and see sort of what they thought about it. But yes, so that is something I like including in my books, both because that's something that is true to my life. And also, you know, to be, you know, honest from sort of an author perspective, you know, you can't always have, you know, the heroine with her two girlfriends. You have to change it up. And so it also becomes, you know, what sort of interesting true life relationships can I explore that are different in this book? And the guy relationships, the guy friend relationships end up being some of my most fun relationships to write.
Yeah, I really enjoyed I'm sorry, I get Practice Makes Perfect and Love Irresistibly a little mixed up because I read them so close to each other. But I think it was Brooke's best friend.
Yes, Ford.
Ford. And then he had these two friends who were hilarious. And doing those three guys, although it was a big challenge for me as a narrator to do all these different men and keep them all straight and differentiate them, I just loved those guys. They were just such a goofy, fun, lovable trio. So I'm glad you found that different set of relationships to put in there. And I'm definitely going to check out that blog post because that sounds fun.
It's a lot of fun. It was really fun. Just, you know, just seeing, you know, it was really neat because they had some very positive things to say about, you know, reading romance, but it was also just funny to hear a guy's perspective on that.
So I'm curious. I think Vicky is curious. I think we're all curious about what's next. What can you share with us?
I can share just a teeny tiny bit. So one of the things that when you only do a book a year, although that's certainly something that I'm trying to work on, I blame the kids for that. you know, I kind of have to sort of parse out, you know, the information and spread it out so that we build excitement throughout the course of the year. I am working on my next book. About halfway done. And I have said that book is also going to be in the FBI U.S. Attorney series. That said, I've also mentioned that I'm doing something a little bit different with this book. And it is going to still feel very much like a Julie James book, but I'm doing something a little bit this one. And I think that as soon as people hear the title, they're going to know, okay, this is going to be something a little bit different because the title certainly suggests that. And I plan to reveal the title at the end of this month, I think. So then people will know more.
All right.
One thing I can say is that one thing that was really interesting about this book is that going into it, I was positive that one of the main characters was going to be somebody from a previous book. And what was interesting is that it did not end up being that character's book. There was this other character that was sort of lingering in the back of my mind who kept saying, no, how about me? How about me? And it ended up being that person's book instead. So that was kind of fun to have that happen.
Well, now knowing all the different characters, I'm really curious to find out which one it's going to be. Well, that's all my questions. Thanks to the Audio Gals for having us here. It's been really great to talk to Julie, and I look forward to the next Julie James novel.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you as well to you, Karen. I've said again, I think you do just such a great job with the books, and I'm so glad you know, going back all that day to my to the day my editor picked your tape out and chose you to be the voice for Julie James. And thanks as well to the Audio Gals, because you guys have just been so supportive of my books and of audiobooks in general, obviously. And it's been great to be a part of that.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today. We certainly have enjoyed this talk, and I'm getting ready to write a review for Practice Makes Perfect. I'll go ahead and spoil it and say it was an A for book contact and an A for narration. It was it was wonderful. So
yay.
Thank you. And thanks Cantor Audio for sponsoring this event.
And for picking up all of Julie's books.
Yeah.
The first one.